When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
That's right. It is a happy hour Friday. If you're out there drinking something, send me a picture of it at TBM929. I'll give you a shout out live on the radio. Simple as that, at TBM929. Hour number two here on a happy hour Friday. We'll get to an NFL no huddle in just a couple of minutes. Probably not going to say much more about the football game that happened last night between the Rams and the 49ers. Rams win 12-6, kind of ends the 49ers' hopes of anything. Rams are playing good. But a guy quit middle of the game, which is pretty weird. You don't see that in the NFL very much, and it's a name we're familiar with. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. Get to all the other games coming up on Sunday as well, some really interesting ones, including a couple potential Super Bowl previews. So we'll get there. Picks against the spread, sports jeopardy, maybe a little college football as well in about 20 minutes from right now. Because at 12:40, Michael Petrie, the Falcons running backs coach, is going to join us. Our weekly visit with a member of the Falcons coaching staff. Normally Thursdays at 12:40. Going to be Friday because the game's on Monday. You get it. So we'll talk to Michael Petrie coming up at 12:40. All of that in the noon hour. On a happy hour Friday.
Not pleased with the breakdown of games this weekend. The NFL's done this a couple times, it feels like, the past couple of weeks. We're like, all of the really good games, the ones that probably have national interest, fall at the same window.
It would be really nice.
Do a better job.
It would be really nice if the Bills, Lions, and Steelers, Eagles game weren't the exact same time. Because there's some bad games in the 1 o'clock window, man. Like,
what's the matter? Bengals, Titans doesn't do it for you?
Like, The Bengals-Titans is pretty bad, but I do like watching the Bengals
Commanders
play.
And Jake Haener?
That one's not great. The worst one is the Jets and the Jaguars. Like,
well, that one might be funny, though.
Not to me.
The worst one,
I won't watch it.
The worst one is Ravens-Giants with Tommy DeVito.
No, but again, at least one of the teams and the ones you're listing have, like,
I know,
guys.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Come on.
Like, It might be fun to watch the Ravens put up a million points on them.
Oh, see, I think the Jets Jaguars to get us ready for Monday night would be more fun.
Go on. What
Do
you mean?
Just watch.
Oh, just to sort of like
two bad quarterbacks
this
play
is what
as
it
we
might
prepare
look like.
For two bad quarterbacks to play. I don't know.
I just like with all the games when we do this, like, you know, rapid fire, say something about each one. I try to write down a little thing that I think is interesting to mention, maybe a little stat, whatever. All I wrote down for Jets Jaguars was yuck.
No thanks. I find the
game
potential.
Sucks.
All right, last night we did not have good quarterback play, but we had good quarterbacks.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford's incredible.
I much prefer the potential of bad quarterbacks.
Well,
I think it's hilarious.
You are entering your favorite time of the year then, because this is the time of year when bad teams start playing bad quarterbacks.
We've got Jake Haener.
Jake Haener will make his
first
start.
We've got Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito will start.
I don't know what's going on with Will Levis's shoulder. Who's the backup there? Is that Mason Rudolph?
Mason Rudolph.
He's not that bad, but he's not good.
Pretty bad. He's pretty bad. Yeah, I mean, it's probably either going to be...
we got what? Mac Jones for the Jaguars.
Yeah, it's either going to be Desmond Ridder or Aiden O'Connell in Vegas. Like, yeah, it's, you know...
We might see Taylor Heinicke.
Yep. That's what it is. That's what December is. Like, December is, okay, on the top end, fun. teams jockeying for playoff positioning, guys trying to win MVP awards, like maybe record-setting seasons for certain running backs.
But on the other end,
on the downside, there's teams trying to get the number one draft pick, and in doing so, they're playing guys that you've never heard of. Like, they're playing quarterbacks that have no business being quarterbacks. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but each of the last 3 years, the NFL set the record for most different starters at quarterback in a season.
Because when you get to this, we're not on that path this year.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's been less injuries early in the year. I'm not really sure. But, yeah, the last couple of years, you've gotten to December, and you've seen – I mean, Tommy DeVito is kind of the poster child for it. But, name a guy.
Yeah. I mean, Jake Haener.
Hey, man.
He's their fourth, right?
Don't sleep on Jake Haener. Had some good years in college. Really, a couple of really solid years at Fresno State.
You know what? So did I, Bunk.
He's also a very excellent backup quarterback at the University of Washington. So we're not gonna slander Jake Haener like this. All right, let's get to an NFL No Huddle kick off the hour. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Week 15 is upon us. Rams win last night. If you didn't watch it, you're probably fine. A lot of field goals. The big headline of the game, though, was that former Falcon and former All-Pro with the Packers, Devondre Campbell, who plays for the 49ers now, I guess just told him he didn't want to go in the game. And then he left the field, which I guess is one way of handling not being a starter anymore. Here is Kyle Shanahan talking about that after the game.
Yeah, he said he didn't want to play today.
Play today?
Yep.
The coaching staff?
He did when I asked him why he didn't want to go in.
During the game or before?
No, that was in the third quarter.
Yeah, so that'll probably be his last game there.
So he steps into the role because Greenlaw is still injured.
Right.
Greenlaw comes back.
Right.
He moves into a reserve role. Mm-hmm. Greenlaw gets fatigued because he went
played since the Super Bowl last year when he ruptured his Achilles.
And they say, hey, man, he's a little tired. Can you go spell him?
Yeah.
And he said no.
Couple snaps. Get
no,
in there. Couple,
I'm
couple
good.
Plays. Mm-mm, no.
You can reserve this role is what he said.
Reserve and these.
Now he can reserve his spot on the transaction sheet.
Yeah, they're
going
to probably cut him today. I hate stuff like that, man. Like, I know it's no fun to get demoted or whatever it is, but it'd be a pro about it. Guess not. All right. Chiefs-Browns. Let's run through some of these and then get to the really good ones that'll happen in the afternoon and the evening and on Monday and all that kind of stuff. So every game the Chiefs play is a skinnier teeth escape, right?
Okay.
It's just been true. Against bad teams, against good teams, it's just been true.
I want to see where you're headed with this.
Can Jameis Winston beat Patrick Mahomes?
Of course.
On Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah. That'd be a lot of fun.
Jameis can be the worst quarterback in the NFL, but like Jameis can also be the best quarterback in the NFL.
Jameis can do that.
For moments.
No. He can do it from one play to the next.
Yeah.
He can make a play that literally only Patrick Mahomes and maybe two other guys in the league can make. And then on the next play, he will look like Desmond Ridder. Like he'll do that. That's Jameis.
The only other guy I saw do that was Flacco.
Yeah.
Remember Flacco?
Well, yeah.
Last year he had three straight pick sixes or something. Didn't he do that like in the playoffs?
Well, playoff Flacco was a different deal.
For a while. Then it fell off.
Yeah, right. But like
was it him or was it someone threw like back to back pick sixes? Was that Dak? Or was it Flacco?
Oh God, I don't remember. I don't remember.
Flacco against the Texans or something?
Geez, the Chiefs are favored by 4 in this game. I know it's on the road, but that's just exactly
the thing about
what
the Chiefs
is.
Now is they've got these 3 games in 11 days that they're kind of talking up, and it's just like, well, why don't you blow a team out that like you're capable of, and then maybe you can rest some players.
It'd be pretty funny to see Jameis beat Patrick Mahomes and then say a bunch of funny stuff afterwards. Bengals-Titans, I don't have a ton to say about that. I know the Bengals' playoff hopes are still hanging on by a sliver. I mean, Joe Burrow's probably going to throw for 415 yards and 4 touchdowns in this game. So, at least that'll be fun.
It's frustrating that we saw Burrow in his rookie year, like, begging for help. And, like, here we are. Offensively, they're fine, but they're just begging for help from their D.
No, their defense has just bled talent every offseason the last couple years since they went to that Super Bowl. And we're the beneficiaries of it. Probably the best player on the Falcons defense is Jesse Bates. So, good for us that they didn't re-sign that guy, but yeah, I mean, their defense is a disaster, absolute disaster. For an offense to be that good and for them to be 5-8 is crazy. Commanders, Saints, I mean, the Saints are going to be starting Jake Haener, like we said. They've been playing some better ball since they made the coaching change. They're 3-1 with Rizzi. Commanders kind of need to get back on track, as they were playing some really good ball earlier in the year. They've dropped 3 out of their last 4. I know they beat the Titans last week because everybody beats the Titans, but the Commanders have dropped 3 out of their last 4, and then they're at New Orleans. Then they got the Eagles, and then they got the Falcons in a couple weeks. So keep an eye on that one if you want to get ready for the Commanders. Giants-Ravens, again, Tommy DeVito's playing. Who cares? Cowboys-Panthers. It's the first time the Panthers have been favored in a game since 2022, December of 2022. So that's about all you need to know about that one. Another game where there's going to be some pretty – at least the Cowboys have a bad quarterback playing. Jets-Jaguars, yuck. Texans-Dolphins. If the Texans win and the Colts lose, then the Texans win the AFC South for the second consecutive year.
Really?
Now, the Dolphins are still hanging on by a thread. But, yeah, Texans have a chance if they win and the Colts lose to clinch that division.
Now, that's a surprise, because I thought you were going to pause and let me have a comment on this game, and I would have said, like, what exactly are the Texans? Because they just don't feel like they're real contenders this year.
They're
close to wrapping up the division. Then.
Yeah, but the bad division. They're,
fair enough, yeah.
They're not. They can't protect C.J. Stroud.
Right.
C.J. Stroud's also just not playing as well this season as he was last year. I don't know if it's a sophomore slump, whatever.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting for them to get Nico Collins back. He's returned a little bit, and he's still working his way back towards 100%. But their offense hasn't really taken off.
I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins win this football game. They've won 4 out of their last 5. They lost that one on, I think it was on Thanksgiving against the Packers. Packers are a pretty good team. But Dolphins still, very favorable schedule on the way in. Texans on Sunday, 49ers who aren't good right now, Browns and Jets. So as they sit at 6-7 right now, Dolphins still have still have some life. Still have a path to the playoffs. All right, let's skip through some of these bad ones. Bills-Lions, a Super Bowl preview? I hope it is.
Well,
I hope it is. Well, I hope
which team do you think is more likely?
I hope the Falcons get there, but if they don't.
Which team do you have a harder time saying that they're going to get to the Super Bowl?
Right now, it's probably the Lions.
Really? I would have gone the other way.
Because of how banged up their defense is. They're just missing so many guys on defense.
I just don't know if I buy...
6 out of their 7 guys in their front 7 are not playing right now on defense.
But I have to buy them over the Eagles or the Packers or the Vikings
or the Falcons. Mean. Like, I think I might buy the Eagles and the...
Maybe.
I might buy the Eagles.
I don't
more
buy
than
the Bills
right
getting by the Chiefs.
Yeah, they did earlier this year.
I know.
Pretty
once again, depending on how it trends the rest of the way, these 3 games in the next 11 days for the Chiefs, it might be back in Arrowhead again.
Yeah, might be. Might be. Both these teams are playing so well right now.
It'd be a great matchup.
It will be. It's going to be, honestly, both of those defenses are going to be interesting to watch. Like we just said with the Lions, they're banged up. And then the Bills gave up 44 points last Sunday to the Rams. So,
who scored how many touchdowns
12,
last night?
0 touchdowns, 12 points last night. Rams are good when they got Stafford, Puka, Kupp, and Kyren. They're not as good as the Lions. Their offense not as good as the Lions' offense.
Yeah.
Those dudes put up 44 on them. That game's indoors in Detroit. That's got, man, 54.5 over under. That game's got some high score potential.
Real quick, Steelers at Eagles. This is a gut check game for me for Pittsburgh. I feel like the Eagles are legit. I don't know if I'm quite there yet still on Pittsburgh, and I think they can prove it on the road.
Do kind of want to see Jalen Hurts shut some people up just with the narrative around their passing game and all that kind of stuff, him and A.J. Brown and all that.
Yeah.
Go out there, throw a couple touchdowns, and ease the tension. That would be 10 in a row for them if they win that game.
Probably no Pickens for Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been banged up the last couple of weeks. Packers-Seahawks Sunday Night Football is going to be interesting, too. It'll be a fun one.
Big game for seeding purposes in the NFC.
Speaking of gut checks, the Seahawks have been not good in Seattle this year, where everybody always talks about so hard to go up there and play. They're 3-4, and they've been smoked a couple times at home.
I think Green Bay's kind of hiding behind the Detroit-Minnesota stack, too. They're a pretty good team.
Green Bay's defense is really,
really
good.
They're a good team.
That'll be a fun one on Sunday night. All right, we'll come back. So we're going to do a lot of stuff next. We're going to make our picks against the spread. We're going to play Sports Jeopardy. We are going to talk a little bit of college football after Bill Belichick's introductory press conference yesterday, because the Falcons running back coach Michael Petrie is going to join us at 12:40. So an action-packed segment coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Happy Hour Friday. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll make our picks against the spread in just a couple minutes. Going to play Sports Jeopardy as well. We're doing that 20 minutes early here on a Friday because Falcons running backs coach Michael Petrie is going to join us in 20 minutes from right now. We'll talk to him about Bijan and Algier and the run game and maybe some of what they can do to help ease the burden of the quarterback and all that kind of stuff. So we'll get some offensive thoughts specifically on the running game from Falcons running backs coach Michael Petrie coming up at 12:40. We'll get back into the big story of the day at 1 o'clock as we look ahead to the Monday Night Football game between the Falcons and the Raiders. And we'll spend quite a bit of time at 1:20 as well, kind of talking about what to expect from the Hawks tomorrow, hopefully also Tuesday in the NBA Cup. But kind of check in on the early portion of their season and the type of growth that they've made over the games that they've played thus far, especially lately. So we'll get to all of that, wrap things up with an AMA as we always do. Before we do that, one quick shout out to give. Shout out to my father-in-law, Jim Davis. Final day today as a high school chemistry teacher. He's retiring. Calling it quits, hanging it up. Jim Davis, after an awesome career at Tuscola High School in Waynesville, North Carolina. Today is the final day for Mr. Davis. And they sent us a picture of his final day attire. He's got a shirt on that says, "The legend has retired." So he's walking into retirement, real humble. We were talking about it last night, and Lily was like, "I want to retire." I was like, "You're four. Retire from what?" But I like where your head's at. I like that. I like the idea of a long vacation. Here's Bill Belichick yesterday when he was introduced as the head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels football team. I didn't realize this. I guess his dad was a coach at North Carolina way back in the day, so he spent some time there, of course, and I guess he was a real little kid when that was happening and told a story about how he's long been a North Carolina Tar Heels fan.
You know, when you're little, you don't remember everything. Obviously, I was too young to remember a lot of things from Carolina. But as I grew up, you know, you hear the same story over and over and over and over again. And so one story I always heard was Billy's first words were, "Beat Duke."
Somebody liked it. Somebody really liked that story. They got fired up about it. I don't know if it's true or not, but I hope it is. Kind of a fun little anecdote to relay.
You think that was the AD laughing?
Somebody. I mean, it's, you know,
you saw
how
the AD wore?
No.
He like cut off the sleeves.
Okay.
Yeah.
He ruined a suit jacket.
But he cut it off too much and made it look like a weird, like.
Yeah, he looked like Ricky Vaughn.
He looked like a weird cut off way too close to the.
It was like a tank top.
Cut
almost.
It at the elbows, man. Not at the.
You got to make it short sleeve.
Not at the shoulder.
Not a tank top. My first words, and this actually is true, my first word was duck. Which, you know, is not my favorite mascot. So my story that I tell...
Or deep down, maybe it is.
My story that I tell is, I was answering the question, what's the mascot of the school that you hate the most? And I said, duck, when I was little. So my story is similar to Bill's. And my reaction, similar to the one that he got. Thank you, guys. Let's get to some picks against the spread here on the show. Great.
Sure was duck.
Just a receptive audience here. That's what my parents said it was duck. I don't know. The hell do I know? It was a long time ago.
You don't remember it, huh?
I don't. How'd we do last week?
Some of us did good. Some of us not as much. Andy went 2-1-1, our second push of the season.
Take it.
1-3 for Randy, 3-1 for Bo. I was 2-2. Andy has made a furious charge back towards the top. 32-27-1. Randy is 27-33. Bo, just a half game there behind Bunk at, or I guess a full game, 31-28-1, and courtesy of not having a push, I am a half game ahead at 33-27.
So we got three of the four of us above 500 for the year. Year's almost over. Randy's only, what'd you say, 27-33?
Yes.
So he's a couple good weeks away
and Randy
from being above 500.
Randy was 24-24. He was 500 a couple weeks ago.
So a couple bad weeks.
He's had three straight 1-3s to put him.
Bad weeks.
You know.
All right. Well, normally Randy goes first.
Randy is picking Army -6.5, the Chiefs -4 against the Browns, the Dolphins +3 against the Texans, and Jake Haener and the Saints +8 against the Commanders. That's Randy's picks.
I think we're all picking Army. I didn't even know what the spread was. I don't care. Just like Randy's mom was in the Army, my dad was in the Army, so we all go Army. I know Bo, yeah. So I'm going the opposite way, though. I don't know. Kansas City hadn't beat anybody by 4. I don't know how they're going to beat the Browns by 4. I don't know if the Browns win that game, but if they're getting 4 points, I'll take it. Cincinnati is going to win that game by 20, so give me the 5.5. And then the Ravens are favored by 16 on the road against the Giants, and I think they're going to cover that. I got the Ravens -16 on the road against the Giants.
I had that one written down at first, and I'm like, they may win by 30.
That's a lot of points.
But also, that's 16 points in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, 2 touchdowns is
Tommy
a big
DeVito,
win.
Man. If he throws for 2 touchdowns, they probably don't cover that. So I stayed away from that one. Definitely give me Army. Hell, I don't care what the spread is. Make my parents proud. Give me the Bengals -5.5 versus the Titans. Give me the Dolphins +3 at the Texans. Give me the Broncos -4 at the Colts.
I like that Dolphins.
I do care what the spread is. And the fact that it's not double digits, you can give me Army as well. I'm going to take the Cowboys +2.5 against the Panthers. Panthers have improved. They still have not figured out how to win any of these games.
No, they have not.
So I'm going to try and stick by that with the Cowboys. Maybe a last-second field goal for the Panthers, still win by 1 in the Cowboys cover. Packers -2.5 against the Seahawks, and the Cardinals -6 against the Patriots. NFC West carrying me to victory, hopefully,
this
week.
Will it change your opinion at all about the Packers-Seahawks game to hear this tweet from my brother, or this text from my brother?
It will not, but please.
You haven't seen the Seahawks defense the last few weeks. They found their swag. I'm not talking about Legion of Boom swag, but that's the direction it's heading. So,
should I go back and look at the Seahawks opponents in those few weeks?
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Just, he's right. My brother will always, he's a diehard. It's awesome. I love it.
That'll be a little bit smaller than Legion of Doom.
Legion of Boom. What's like a smaller, not a Legion.
Legion
like,
of Bang?
Or just like a group of Boom. Maybe not a whole Legion.
They played Arizona twice, the Jets.
Hey, Arizona's pretty good.
And a banged up Niner squad.
Doesn't matter. They found their swag.
Just checking.
They found their swag. All right, did we all do it? Okay, let's play some Sports Jeopardy.
Abe.
And here we go.
Last time Abe was in.
Last
was
two times. It's
couple
been
Fridays.
Bad.
It's been bad, so.
But I have won first place at trivia twice this week.
Okay, that's
not
good.
Not me, my team. It wasn't all.
So there you go.
Okay. All right.
You've already won stuff this week, so that's the most important thing.
Keep it rolling. Actually, I hope you don't.
What was the San Francisco 49ers home stadium in Abe Gordon?
Oh, boy. That might not be good. Candlestick?
That is correct.
What was the finish?
What was the 49ers home stadium in 2013, which would be the year before they moved to Levi's?
Oh, okay.
Who? So that's one for Abe Gordon already on the board.
Only one I'll get.
Who headlined Super Bowl halftime show in 2020?
Andy
Bunker.
The Weeknd.
Incorrect.
I don't know. I know he did it one time.
Abe, I don't know if this is right. Bruno Mars?
Also incorrect. So that was, Andy, you're on the right track. The Weeknd performed in the season after the 2020 season, but it was actually in 2021.
Oh, 21.
2020 was Shakira and J-Lo.
Okay.
I would not have come up with that one anytime soon.
That's Bruno Mars did the Super Bowl, the Seahawks beat the Broncos.
Yeah. I just threw out a guess.
I mean, he did a great job.
Which is the only NFL team that plays their home games in New York State?
Andy
Bunker.
The Buffalo Bills.
That is correct, sir. We have a tie ball game here at one apiece. Who is the first NFL quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards?
Abe
Gordon.
Marino?
That is not correct, sir.
I assume this was in a season, not career.
I think it's in a season. It is in a season.
I got two guesses.
Go back to Johnny Unitas or something.
Well, I think it's back that way though. I think it's Joe Namath.
That is correct.
I think Marino may have been the first to throw for 5.
I think you're right about that. Yeah.
Who was the first NFL quarterback to throw for 5,000?
Marino.
This just well, I don't know that you even got that right, but that was the next
Marino.
Abe Gordon. Was that your answer?
Yeah.
I hope it's not.
That would have been dope. Right after you confirmed it.
Can y'all be impartial judges right quick? Should I have even asked that one?
Nah, it's fine.
Okay.
That was a joke. We didn't know that was coming.
When was the last NFL team to have a winless season?
Abe
Gordon.
Oh, I got that.
I think. Your voice is also just louder, maybe. I'm not sure. They're both A's.
Yeah, I'll probably get this wrong. The Lions.
That is incorrect.
Yeah.
The Browns.
Yeah. It was between the two. I couldn't remember which one happened first.
Other than here's a good trivia room question. Other than the Chicago Bears, who is the only other NFL team mascot that has existed since their founding year in 1920?
Andy
Bunker.
The Packers. Oh.
Abe, the team hasn't existed in the same city, but I think it's the Cardinals.
It is.
Yeah.
They were named after some street in Chicago because there were 5 original NFL teams in Chicago.
What were the Packers originally? They were called the... Oh,
I think they made AFL. I think that was before the merger.
Okay, got it.
I think they had a longer title, too,
okay,
at some point.
The Packers?
I think Packers were part of it, but I thought it was like Meat Packers.
Cheese Packers or something like
that. Yeah, whatever it was.
There's a lot of things you could put in front of Packers that would be appropriate.
Yeah, I tried not to.
What NFL team holds a record for the longest losing streak of all time at 26 games?
Ace.
Andy.
Buccaneers.
That is correct. That ties us up at 3 apiece.
What? That just ties us?
It does. Just tie y'all.
Hold on. I have at least 4.
Yeah, I think it's 4-2. You must have gave me one.
I got Cardinals. I got Marino.
I think you gave me one.
I got that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I got the first one.
It's 4-2.
You only have 2. All right, 4-2.
It's 4-2.
What's happening here? Demand a recount.
Fix this on.
You accidentally gave me the one that he got.
This has been a pretty popular topic this week. What 2 players share the NFL single season record for most sacks with 22.5? Andy Bunker.
Michael Strahan and TJ Watt.
That is correct, sir. So that makes it 4-3.
I was hoping you were just going to throw a Gastineau in there for whatever reason.
No. You second.
Yeah.
How old was the NFL's oldest player, George Blanda, when he retired?
Oh, God. Who knows?
This is crazy.
Andy
Bunker.
53.
That's pretty close.
I think it's higher than that. I think it's 59.
Also, it's actually lower than that. It's 48.
Oh, wow.
That's outrageous.
I thought it was older.
That's nuts.
I thought it was older. Huh.
All right, we got to go. Andy's got to get this one.
All right.
Oh, come on. Don't do this to me.
Come on.
What NFL division has the most Super Bowl wins shared among teams? Abe Gordon.
That's the NFC East.
That is correct. Yeah, I had to go back and count those just to
Giants,
make sure.
Giants, Cowboys.
Skins at the
Redskins,
time.
Redskins.
Yeah.
Eagles.
Yeah.
Well, there it is. There it is. Randy's going to be furious.
Yeah.
He's not going to care at all about how much I dominated the first couple times. He's going to be so disappointed in me. And this song played on the radio, too, because of us. What is this?
We Didn't Start the Fire by Abe's favorite band, Billy Joel.
Band?
I like that. Call him a band.
Call him a band? Now, he's got a lot of accompaniment. Come on.
He's the piano man.
Piano man.
We'll come back. Michael Petrie is going to join us. He's the Falcons running backs coach. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Eisenhower vaccine. England's got a new queen. Marciano. Twenty minutes away from getting back into the big story of the day as we look ahead to an action-packed weekend. Hawks have a big game tomorrow afternoon in Las Vegas in the NBA Cup. The Falcons obviously have a Monday night football game also in Vegas. Randy and myself headed out to Vegas to do a couple shows on Monday and Tuesday. So a lot of Atlanta and Las Vegas ties over the next few days. Joining us right now on the show, as we've been lucky enough to have a member of the Falcons coaching staff join us each week throughout the season, is the Falcons running backs coach Michael Petrie taking some time for us this afternoon. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing good. Looking ahead, looking forward to Monday night for sure. Let's start by talking about those two running backs that you guys have and just how versatile of a duo they are. Like, how nice is it for you guys as an offense to have two guys that it feels like can combine to almost do anything that you need a running back to do?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a luxury that we have, having two amazing individuals and really good football players. That can do a lot for us in the run game, pass protection. They're selfless, you know, and then they're ultra competitive guys. And so it's really fun to watch because they compete against each other, but it's healthy competition. And ultimately, it's just bringing the best out of each other and out of the room.
You mentioned pass protection. I imagine there were a couple of oohs and ahs watching tape on some of those hits that Bijan has laid as guys have tried to come through the hole.
Absolutely. No, B's done a phenomenal job of just taking strides from year one to year two in his pass protection, and not just the physicality of it, but just the overall understanding of the protection plan week to week and the different adjustments that we make. And so he's done a phenomenal job in that area for sure.
How do you get a guy to buy into that? Like, obviously, it's vital, and if you're going to be a starter or you're going to play a lot of running back in the league, you're going to have to do that. But I think there's a difference between – you know, pass protection and really being willing to get in there and do what he's been doing this year. Like, how do you as a coach go about trying to make sure he's buying in all the way and doing what Bijan's done this season?
Yeah, I think really just, you know, it's setting the stage from the moment that you become a pro and understanding how important it is to protect the quarterback, right? Because at the end of the day, the quarterback is a franchise. And so if we can protect and make the quarterback feel more comfortable in the pocket, it's only going to allow him to go back there and be able to distribute the ball to the playmakers. And so it's a lot of work that goes into it, you know, and then just understanding, you know, these guys get here and they're crazy competitive. And so they understand, like, hey, teams are going to try you in protection, especially a guy like Bijan, because a lot of people look at him as a scat back, but they don't realize that he's a true three-down back that can do it all. And so, like I said, I think it's just a mentality that you got to preach and push on these guys from the moment they walk in the door.
And I think we've seen a little bit of that from Tyler Allgeier. You talk about being an every down back. I mean, this is a guy that's really put work in as a receiver. He's got 10 targets on the year. All 10 have been hauled in. He's really devoted himself in practice and in extra time on the machine to working on that aspect of his game.
Yeah, no, it's been really cool to watch Ty's development from year one to two and now year two to three. And I think, you know, again, bringing a guy like Bijan in the room and he watched how versatile he was, that naturally pushed him to want to become more of a receiving threat because he saw some things that he was able to do in the past game and just create, you know, some more versatility to his game. And so Ty's done a phenomenal job in that aspect. He spends a lot of time on the judge machine, with the equipment guys before practice, after practice. And, again, when you know, the personnel department, they've just done a phenomenal job of bringing in guys that love football. So when you get guys that love football like those two do, they're going to do the extra to make sure that every day they go out there that they can be the best they can be to help the football team win.
Falcons running back coach Michael Petrie joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. You mentioned a part of it just a minute ago as far as pass protection goes and helping make the quarterback comfortable. And I understand it's all complimentary. Everybody has a job to try to make everyone else's job easier, both on offense and defense. But what can the running backs do specifically to make Kirk's job a little bit more comfortable, to make his job a little bit easier on a given game day?
Yeah, I think really, and it's not even just game day, it starts in practice, right? As we put together the protection plan as a staff, right, there's a lot of things that go into it, the different matchups and who's a threat on the other side, right, because there's a lot of really good players on the other team as well. And so starting there, and then just the confidence builds throughout the week, because we'll give these guys different looks throughout practice, throughout walkthroughs, and being able to be on the same page and have the offensive line, the quarterback, the running back, everyone involved in protection being on the same page. You do that throughout the week, and then by the time you get to Sunday and you've done it, you know, multiple times throughout the week, that's going to build the confidence. And so I think it's an all-week process to get to Sunday so the quarterback can feel comfortable, so the guys in protection, the 5-0 linemen, the running back feel comfortable, because there's a lot of nuances and adjustments that go into it as well. And I think our guys have done a phenomenal job, starting with the quarterback, of just making sure that he's getting guys in the right spots to make sure that he's comfortable and he can go back there and do his job.
Coach, no matter how good it's going, it can always go better. What might you circle out as a semi-disappointing aspect of the run game this season?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't necessarily say things are disappointing. I think that is a good question. I think the biggest thing that we're always striving for is how can we create more explosive plays by us winning our one-on-one matchups when the O-line and the receivers and the tight ends get us those one-on-one matchups with safeties and corners at the third level. We need to do a better job of being able to make that guy miss or make him pay, so then we can rip off a few more big and explosive runs. So then that way Z-Rob doesn't have to call another play and, hey, there's nothing wrong with taking it 80 if we get the opportunity to take it 80.
Maybe this is a dumb question, and the answer is just he's an athletic freak, and it is what it is. But maybe there's more to it, and you certainly would know, being the running backs coach. What makes Bijan so dynamic? Like, as you're watching tape and you're working with him and you're watching, obviously, on game day and all that, like, what makes him so special as a running back?
I think there's a lot of things. I think the first thing is competitive greatness. I think he truly wants to be great, and he wants to be looked at as one of the best to ever do it in his position, and he understands it's a process. And because he understands it's a process, he puts in a lot of work in the film room, in the weight room, practice field. He asks really good questions, and so he's a true pro's pro. And then you get to the physical gifts that he has, and again, there's a lot that, you know, he may have been born with, right, and given, but at the same time, if you don't use them and you don't continue to work on them, you can lose them. And so I think, he's a guy that does a lot of work quietly. You know, he's not necessarily one of those guys that needs to post all this stuff on social media and stuff for people to see him working, because he's going to let his work speak for itself. And then, when you get him out there, he just loves the game. And so I think because he loves the game and he's a student of the game, he studies some of the other elite backs that are currently playing, and then studies guys that played before him, because he wants to be able to take things that he's seen them do and be able to add that to his game. And that's where you just know you got a pro's pro that's hungry for success and team success, not just personal success.
The other thing that Bijan's got going for him is the trust of his teammates. He's almost to last year's touch total. Zero fumbles this year, though. I know he had 4 last year, but at pretty much the same point, 0 fumbles, which has got to make you proud as well.
Absolutely. That's something that we talk about a lot in this room and a lot as the program and the organization is, you know, you carry the ball, you're carrying the organization. And so that's something that he's really worked on and that we talked about. If he wants to continue taking the strides of being an elite back, we got to take care of the ball. And he would tell you those 4 fumbles last year were 4 too many, you know. And so far this year, he's doing a really, really good job. And I think as a football team, You know, we're doing a really good job of taking care of the ball, and it's something that's been emphasized from the top down. And we do daily ball security circuits as an offense. And then it's something that I know on the defensive side, they're working on takeaways as well. And so it's just something that's being preached by Raw day in and day out. And I think specifically talking about B, again, he's such a prideful guy and competitor. He doesn't like, you know, that feeling that he had last year where he felt like he let the team down by putting the ball on the ground. And he doesn't want, you know, that's a goal that he had for himself, was to be able to get through this season, however many touches he gets, without putting the ball on the ground.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thank you. Good luck on Monday.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me.
Michael Petry there, Atlanta Falcons running backs coach. A lot of conversation, obviously, about Bijan and Tyler Allgeier and the run game and pass protection and all that. Running back's done a great job of ball security. Hopefully that'll translate across the board for the remainder of the season. I know it's something they're working on, certainly something that some members of the offense have struggled with over the last couple of weeks. Bijan's 23 yards away from 1,000 rushing, which, nice. Love to see that. 977, so 20. He'll probably get there on Monday night,
I don't know if last night's game counts or whatever. He was 7th in the league in rushing. He obviously adds what he does as a receiver as well. I mean,
53 catches, 400 yards there, too. So,
considering the sometimes split with Allgeier, he's pretty much all you can ask for as a back this
season.
He's
still got a chance at 2,000 all-purpose. I mean, have to have, like, 13. Have to have a pretty huge final four
games. I think
games,
Coach said the one thing I was looking for. Like, what's the longest touchdown run we have this season?
What is it?
I don't know. But, like, it doesn't feel like it's 53 yards. Maybe I'm forgetting something. But it doesn't feel like these guys have really gotten loose.
No, I know.
Much.
37 yards is Bijan's longest run this year. I don't know if it was a touchdown or not. Tyler Allgeier's 25. I think that was a touchdown. Yeah. No, you're right. Because it always looks like Bijan's like one missed
that
tackle.
One guy
away
hits a shoelace and he somehow.
From
there's open field right
taking
there.
Taking it to the house. Hopefully that happens on Monday night as well. Thanks again to Falcons running backs coach Michael Petry. Falcons in general, they've been nice enough to let us talk to one member of the coaching staff every single week throughout the entire season. We'll come back and get to the final hour of the show here on a Happy Hour Friday. Big story of the day coming up next. Get back into what it's going to take for the Falcons to win on Monday. Talk about the Hawks and their trip to Vegas as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.